Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into this season of rejoicing in your resurrection, remind us that every day is an Easter for us who are in Christ. Every day is a resurrection day. And Father, as we ponder the next couple of days, this being Good Friday and the resurrection day on Sunday, may we just be reminded the one simple truth, that the cross is enough. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last week we touched on a subject about abiding. We got on topic a little bit of a subject about that, and Ted suggested we try to unpack this a little bit, so we're going to do that today, see what we can discuss a little bit about the practicality of what it means to abide. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the text we looked at last week, and that would be John chapter 15. Specifically verses 4 through 9. Will be our introduction, John chapter 15, verses 4 through 9. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. May God be pleased to open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from his word. The word abide is the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, and literally it has many different meanings. Sometimes when we look at the classical Greek use of a word and studying the etymology of a word, it's very helpful to us to understand how it's used in the New Testament or the Old Testament scriptures. Now some of the classical Greek uses of the word meno are very interesting because it really sets the tone for how it's translated for us and why the Holy Spirit was pleased to use this particular word to describe something that Jesus had said by using the word abide. In classical Greek, one of the best meanings of the word is to dwell in one's own house. To dwell in one's own house. When you abide, you dwell in one's own house. It's used that way in the classical Greek. In the New Testament, it really comes to mean pitching your tent and feeling at home with. Pitching your tent and feeling at home with. It was a term that was used to describe the nomadic herdsmen who were looking for a place for their flock, and they would find a place by a river or a stream or a mountain valley, and they would pitch their tent, and they would feel at home, and they would stay there, and they would remain there for a while. Now, that's why sometimes the more modern translations will use the word remain as opposed to the word abide. Personally, I like the word abide because it's a bigger picture than the word remain. But the concept is you find a place, and there's a degree of comfort where you pitch your tent and you feel at home. Now that means, as Jesus is telling us to abide in him, there's got to be some degree of comfort that you and I feel and a sense of security when you're abiding and you're resting in your own home. One of the things that we always find is at the end of the day, when you go to your house and to your home, there's a degree of comfort and safety and security. Now let me have a little confession time here. Last week, the Lord was pleased to do something that I had no idea what he was going to do, because I tell you, I was just wiped out before I got here last Friday. I was studying Thursday night to prepare for this, and I just hit a wall. I just said, I've had it. You know, I'm just so worn out, so tired. It's been a very busy week. You know, I'd had the melanoma removed from my head. I was facing eye surgery for my cataracts that I was going to do this with. So the whole thing was just sort of coming around me at once. And I basically just said, Lord, I just have no idea what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to go to sleep tonight. And I just hope that in your grace, you'll be pleased to give me something to say, because I have no notes. I'm taking no outline. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to drive in the car, and I'll just trust that you're going to do something. So I came in here last week just totally wiped out. I had no resources. If I were an 8-cylinder person, I was probably operating on 1 or 2. Now, I wear a good mask, and you didn't see that. But I had no idea what was going to happen last Friday. I was driving here, and I got to realizing the situation. I said, you know, those brothers are so faithful. I owe them at least something. And I haven't even prepared to do anything. And how can I let them down because they're so faithful in coming? Lord, you're just going to have to do something because I have no idea what to do today. I guess I'm just going to have to remain in you and just trust you. And all of a sudden, the word abide hit my mind. I just need to abide in your grace. That's all I can do. I don't have any resources of my own strength right now. I'm just really zapped out and wiped out. I'm just going to have to abide in you. And that's what I was driving coming up the highway. Just as I got off at Mount Nebo Road, I thought, just abide in me. That's what we talked about last week, because I had nothing else to talk about other than the idea of abiding. And I thought, well, why don't we just look at John 15? Now, there's something there that I learned about the word abiding. You see, the concept of abiding, there's a great definition when we say pitch your tent and feel at home with. There's a degree of abiding which really has the overriding implication that you just feel comfortable abiding in your relationship with Christ. Realizing this, that it's really not up to you, it's really up to Him, and you're abiding in what He's accomplished. And that's why I said the cross is enough. You don't need to add anything to the cross. The cross is enough. Legalism basically says the cross isn't enough. I've got to add something to what Christ has done. But when you understand the concept of abiding, there's a degree of comfortable, a degree of comfort, and not sloppiness and being lazy, but there's a degree of being comfortable. It's not being convenient, it's being comfortable. Do you understand the difference? That's the idea of abiding. And what Jesus says, when you abide in me, there has to be a degree of comfort that you and I experience in our relationship to the Lord. And one of the best ways that one of the wordsmithers of the study of the Scripture uses the word abide defines it this way, holding and maintaining unbroken communion and fellowship with Christ. Now that's a pretty good definition. Holding and maintaining unbroken communicate in fellowship with Christ. And so there's a degree, brothers, where I learned a great lesson about what it means to abide. John just tells us in John 15 that if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. Now, what is fruit? Well, we'll get into that in a moment. But let's just basically say the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Now, there's many definitions of fruit, which we'll get into in a moment. But let's just start with the most basic. And that in the book of Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 22. Now, Jesus told us in John chapter 15 that if you abide in me, in other words, you find a comfort level with me where you pitch your tent and you feel comfortable with me. I abide in you and He abides in us. We abide in Him. And there's this degree of being surrounded by this comfortable, maintaining relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't want to override this idea of being comfortable, but you've got to feel that's what He's really talking about. In some of the difficult situations of life, there has to be some degree of comfort. Just like I was very uncomfortable last week because I was absolutely unprepared to do anything that was going to have any spiritual significance. And all I could really do was, I've just got to abide. I've just got to feel comfortable that, Lord, you're going to do something, even though I'm totally unprepared. Now, let's take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what I'm suggesting, brothers, is a degree of maintaining a consistent relationship with the Lord Jesus through fellowship, that these are the implications of that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And what I'm suggesting is, the first indication of our abiding is, how well do I really feel comfortable with those words? Do I feel comfortable in situations that I lose control and I'm governed by trepidation and fear, but I realize there's a sense of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and those other words? You see, that's the realm of what we abide in the realm in which we feel comfortable. And so that means you just have to pitch your tent, to have a degree of comfortableness with the person work of Christ, and just let the fruit of the Spirit exude out of you because you feel comfortable in those character qualities. Now, the fruit of the Spirit really is the character development of our life, and that's one of the reasons that Tom wanted to create this little reminder of transformational thinking. Rather than feeling, acting, and thinking, we think, act, feel. And one leads to holiness, and the other leads to habits. And what I'm suggesting is, as we unpack this idea of abiding, that we learn just to have a sense of comfort in the fruit of the Spirit. Now that means in a difficult situation, you might have to say, Lord, I don't have the love that I need to have right now. I'm going to have to abide in your love because you're abiding in me. And I know that when I abide in you, I'm going to have enough love to love whatever I need to love at the moment when I don't feel like loving. Because that's abiding. You feel comfortable in that. And the same thing with joy. I didn't feel real joyful last week just because I was so wiped out. But you see, when you abide, you've got to realize that there's just this overriding fruit of the comfortableness of being in Christ, that joy is going to permeate the situations where you feel unjoyful. And you feel a degree of comfort and you just trust that. Do you see what I'm trying to say? For me, it was a great learning experience because I was so wiped out, had no resources of my own, totally unprepared. It was a great lesson for me just to feel comfortable in my nothingness. Do you understand that? Ted, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I think this is so important what you're teaching. I think a lot of us were struck last week that this was one of the most heavy teachings that we had heard. I mean, it really struck us profoundly. And Tom, I don't mean to embarrass you, but after the meeting, I said, Tom has been coming here three times. And I said, Tom, what did you think? And Tom said to me, wow. It just blew him away.
Well,
so it really is not about you.
It isn't.
You said I said, I mean, this is the truth. I mean,
no. That you got to listen to what Ted's saying.
I was unprepared. But the thing is, God was prepared.
Amen.
You may say, well, now I've got to abide in him, but he's abiding in you.
There you go.
So the precedence for everything is him. It's not us. And I get very nervous when I begin to hear a lot of talk about all our obligations and responsibilities. Even if I do them as well as I can, it's still so far short of what it needs to be. And when Bruce Bickle comes before us and has so little to give, God has greater things to give.
Amen. That's what I'm abiding, and that's the lesson I learned. There comes a point in your nothingness, and you're not having the resources to do what you need to do to bear fruit. There has to be a degree of being comfortable just realizing that Christ is abiding in me. It's really about him and not about me. And I'm just going to abide in that. I'm just going to feel comfortable in my inability to do anything correctly today. Now, that doesn't mean you should become sloppy. It doesn't mean that you don't prepare. It just means it's a degree of an environment you realize this, that he's dwelling in me. And we're going to unpack this in a moment to help us understand how do we abide. But my point is this. The definition is pitching your tent and feeling at home with. We just need to feel at home with Christ in our inabilities. When we don't have anything, any resources to give, feel comfortable in the fact you know this. He's abiding in me. He's pitched his tent and feels comfortable with me. I need to feel equally comfortable with him in this situation. Yeah, Bill? The way I would say, excuse me? Yeah, you just have to let it be attention. There's no answer to it. Just let it be attention. There's going to be attention. I need to feel comfortable. I need to be obedient. I need to feel comfortable. I need to be obedient. We're going to unpack this a little bit to help us understand where obedience comes from. It all comes from the fact that Christ is abiding in you. He's the source of your obedience. It's his. I need to recognize, for me to be obedient, I need to understand that Christ is abiding in me. And therefore, my desire has changed to be obedient. It's because I've now got a different disposition. It's not my trying to earn something. It's my desire to express something. The difference is my trying to earn merit versus my trying to express gratitude, love, and appreciation for the fact that he's abiding in me. So I think you have to let the tension be a tension. Because if it's not a tension, you're going to become legalistic on one side and sloppy on the other. And we need to be balanced. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. Ted? Now, we need to understand that obedience is a love response. John 14 says this, if you love me, you're going to be obedient. Now, there's your motivation for the tension on the other side is, all right, Lord, let me go back to myself last Friday. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I've just got to abide in you. I just want to, as I'm abiding in you, I just want to demonstrate my love for you by being an aggressive responder to whatever's going to happen in the meeting. Part of our obedience is being an aggressive responder to what we see the Lord doing around us. As I began to sense last week what the Lord was doing in spite of me, my response had to be one of obedience. And that was to be an aggressive responder to what I saw the Lord doing around me. It wasn't something I created, it was something I was just discerning. I think one of the real issues for us is discernment. Is to realize what's the Lord doing around us and be an aggressive responder. That's how we had the desire to be obedient. Yes, please.
I tend to look at that more as a sheep listening to the voice of the shepherd. When you're talking about discernment, like I hear his voice, and that tends to lead towards like obedience and life. I mean, I'm a sheep looking for life.
Absolutely.
The shepherd's leading me towards, you know, my life. I don't have to like worry about whether I'm being obedient. I'm looking for life, which is being part of the vine.
Amen.
I mean, it's a relationship.
It is.
I'm not worried about the rules. I'm trying to live.
Yeah, the issue here is what we're trying to do is just maintain the integrity of this tension that exists between realizing this, that even my best efforts of obedience are going to be tainted. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is tainted. Mm-hmm. And that's why Christ makes up the difference. Now, I'm not suggesting at all, please understand, I'm not saying let go and let God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you take an aggressive response and be an aggressive responder to see what your Lord doing in your life. And we need to understand this, that when we abide, feel comfortable at home and pitch our tent, we need to understand the other side of the coin, and that is this, that such a relationship of abiding must mean that there's going to be suffering in a world that is wrongly constituted. If you really understand the concept of abiding, you have to understand what it means to suffer. That's the other side of the coin. This is just not Pollyannish, Mary Poppins stuff of, oh, I'm just going to sit back and let go and let God. No, it's going to be a real struggle. It's going to be a fight because the world is wrongly constituted and you and I are abiding in Christ. We're not part of this world and the world's not going to respond to that too positively. So we need to understand the other side of the coin as this comfort that we're talking about. The other side of the coin is this, suffering. You're going to suffer if you abide because the world loves its own and we are not part of the world. Those who are abiding do not belong to the world. Their outlook is not the outlook of the world. Their inspiration is not the inspiration of this world. And the world wholly loves and lives in the realm of its own materialism. We don't. If you're going to abide, you've got to realize the other side of the coin is you're going to suffer because you're anti-world. You're against the system of this world. That's why we wanted to give you this think, act, feel to remind us. One of the ways in which we're going to abide is to think correctly. That's transformational leadership. That's transformational thinking.
I wanted to go back to a couple of weeks ago. You said that prayer is a preparation for the next event. And in your situation, you were praying to prepare for abiding. Was your prayer before you came in,
right.
Last week? And you didn't have any subject.
You see, prayer is an act of obedience, isn't it? So in that act of obedience, you're abiding. And you're abiding by that act of obedience. One supports the other. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And so we need to understand there's some implications of abiding. You see, the brother's referring to a statement we made a couple weeks ago when we talked about prayer is preparation for the next response. Prayer is preparation for the proper response to the next event. That's what prayer, that's abiding. And we're going to see one of the ways in which you abide, pitch your tent and feel at home with, is through your prayer life. Let's try to unpack this a little bit. Now, open your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to look up some verses. I'm going to give you some things to write down. I don't have an outline for you. Now, here's a couple things that will help us understand the concept of how is it that you and I work at our abiding? How do we maintain an unbroken fellowship with the Lord? That's the definition we're using. Remember, it's holding and maintaining unbroken communion and fellowship with Christ by pitching your tent and feeling at home. Now, we've talked about the comfort side of it, where we can relax a little bit because we know that Christ is dwelling in us. There's also the side, some of the things that we need to be doing, if you would, under God's grace, as an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to maintain the integrity of our unbroken relationship and communion with Christ. Abiding in Christ depends upon holding to His teaching. Would somebody read 1 John 2:24? And then somebody look up John 8:31. Then 2 Thessalonians 2:15. And then 2 John 9. And 3 John 3 and 4. I'll give you those again. Let's go to First John. Let's stay in the book of, we've got several here. So let's go to 1 John 2:24. Now we're talking about what is our responsibilities in maintaining this unbroken fellowship. We have certain responsibilities that we do while we're developing a comfortable relationship with Christ. So 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, what's he referring to? He's referring to the original doctrine that he heard that led you to Christ. In other words, he's referring to the Scripture. It's that tradition which you heard of the gospel of Christ. You'll notice in 1 John, what we have heard from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the Word of life. That's what he's referring to in verse 24 of 1 John chapter 2. Again, as for you, let that abide in you. Now, what is it that he's saying abide in you? It's the doctrines of grace that brought you to Christ in the first place. You've got to think about those things. You've got to abide. You've got to feel comfortable in those doctrines, the things that brought you to Christ. You see, that's what he's saying. That's one of the ways which we have a responsibility, not to look out for the latest gimmick, but go back to that which was really the root of my salvation, and that's understanding this. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, revealed in the Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. That's what he's referring to. It's the basic doctrines of grace that brought you to saving faith anyway. Remind yourself of abide in that. Feed those, develop that, encourage that, expand them. Don't go looking for the next gimmick. That which brought you to saving faith is what you abide in. And that means let that feel comfortable in you, and it feels comfortable in you itself, and all of a sudden you begin to feel comfortable in your maintaining your relationship to Christ. So John has some very strong instructions about abiding in Christ depends upon our holding to his teaching. How about, let's go while we're in John, go to 2 John chapter 9. If you have it, please.
Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son.
Now look at that, 2 John, verse 9. Don't go too far away. Stick to the basics. Stick to the doctrines of grace, if you would. That's where you're going to understand. Now read that again. Look at that. 2 John, verse 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Where is it you and I need to feel comfortable? In the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. That's how we abide. That's part of our responsibility, part of our duty, if you would. There's nothing wrong with the word duty. You and I have a duty to keep our nose in the book. That's why Tom wanted you to have this little reminder. Think, act, feel. You've got to think right. How do we think right? We think right biblically. That's a responsibility we have. How about one other from John? How about 3 John chapter 3 and 4? Third letter of John. I'll read it. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now the word walking means the direction of your life. How is it that you and I abide? We abide by walking in the truth. And where is the truth found? It's found in the Scripture. Guys, you see, that's what we do. That's why we're here every Friday, so that we can learn to abide in the Scripture. You're just not developing theological knowledge. You're developing a saving relationship to the author of the book. You see, you're developing a relationship. Remember the definition? Maintaining an uninterrupted fellowship of intimacy with the Lord. How do you do that? You do that with the Scripture. Now, how you apply that in your life is the real issue. That means, what do I do in my devotional life? What do I do in my quiet time? What type of music do I listen to? What are the things that feed my mind? You see, all those things are critical as one of our responsibilities to maintain the integrity of our abiding. And the more we do that, the more we're going to feel comfortable, if you would, in the fruits of the Spirit as they're manifested us because we abide in the truth. So one of the things we have to realize that unpacking this, one of the ways in which we abide is by holding on to the truth. Now, secondly, another way of unpacking this, abiding depends upon our obedience to Him. Abiding depends upon our obedience to Him. Look at John 15, verse 10. John 15, back to John 15. Now notice this. Here's your balance. If you keep my commandments, that's obedience, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see, obedience is part of our abiding. Now, where do you get the commandments? You get them in the Scripture. That's why you see it's the fruit of the Spirit. I need to feel comfortable in the fruit of that Spirit. Yes, Carl. Correct.
To be at home with Christ and to be at home with the Word of God. And as we are walking this thing out, we are to be at home with Him or to submit ourselves totally to Him so that when we are walking this out, that we're at home with Him and He's at home with us because Jesus is at home with the Father.
Amen. So you have to realize that one of the ways in which we are abiding is by being obedient to the commandments. Now, why is it you have that desire to be obedient to the commandments? It's because of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit that gives you a new desire, a new disposition to want to please God. I think it was John Calvin who said, the law was given for 3 major reasons. First of all, to describe and help us reveal the righteousness and holiness of God. Secondly, was to create a culture that had some civility to it because it had some standards that never changed. Under the magistrates and officials, it was to organize a culture that had some degree of civility. And the third thing was to teach the redeemed of God to know how to please the Father. So the way in which you and I know how to please the Father is to, what are the commandments? I obey those. That's pleasing to the Father. That's one of the ways in which we're abiding. Yes, sir. They're not running around. They're connected to the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Don't run around looking for the latest gimmick. Did you ever notice how some Christian people live their life like kids on the playground? They go to the swing, and after a while they get tired. Then they go to the teeter-totter. Then they go. The next thing they go to is the merry-go-round. And then they go to run the bases. They're always looking for the next exciting thing. And we have to be careful about that. Now, you notice some people live their Christian lives like that. They go to the latest conference, the latest book, the latest CD, whatever it is, the latest thing that comes down the pike. You see, when we're understanding abiding, it's different. You're connected to the vine. You're not running around for the latest thing, looking for the latest new experience. What we're seeing in the Scripture is you want to be obedient as an expression of your love to the Father because you know that He abides in you and you want to express that. And so one of the ways in which we do that is through our obedience. Yes. Oh.
The environment will start to control you.
Right.
What I started to see, and forgive me if this is indelicate because I've been trying to strain this together, but I see this pattern of, why are those people running around? I think inherently they know that they're not abiding by what they should be. So if I back up, there's a phrase about stress management that says, if you want to stop being stressed, stop screwing up. And it's flip, but when you think about it, a lot of the things that we can control that cause us stress that we've done. And there's things that we're not doing that we know we should be doing. And I think deep down at the core of this, if we understand the Scriptures as you explain it, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a big if. But I think deep down, we know the places we're screwing up. So we start looking for these other places
sure.
to do things to make us feel as though we're doing the right thing. And deep down, we know we screwed up. We just want to feel better by doing this
yeah.
new theology.
No, that's right. Looking for the latest gimmick. We need to be careful not to be running around looking for the latest thing. How about James 1:25 to help us understand that it depends upon our obedience to Him. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. There again, you see, the position of the law in the life of the believer is that is the standard by which we try to have the desire to please the Father. And so when we abide in that, obedience is part of our abiding. That's one of the things that we have a responsibility to do. But we do it under the grace of God. Remember this. You're in grace by grace. You're not in grace by works. You're in grace by grace. Romans 5 tells us you stand in grace. You're not moving in and out of it. You're not in grace one day and grace out the next day. You're not in and out. You're in grace by grace. And it is by grace that you have the desire to be obedient. The disposition changes and you have a different desire to want to do that. And it's in the abiding that we begin to become aggressive responders and fulfill those requirements. Now, there's another way in which we can understand to unpack abiding. It requires that we live like Christ. In other words, that we walk like Christ. How about 1 John? Go back to 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 6. The one who says he abides in Him, meaning Christ, ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. In other words, there's got to be some evidence in your life. And what's the evidence? Go back to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Start with that. Is that the evidence in your life? That's the evidence of abiding, because if you abide, you're going to bear fruit. The fruit is not something that you and I generate or cause to happen. The fruit is the consequence of a saving relationship where the Holy Spirit produces the fruit that comes from heaven, and it's described in those character qualities. So there has to be some evidence of the character of our life that takes on those characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, and so forth that we saw in Galatians 5:22. There's got to be some evidence of that. That doesn't mean that you and I are living sinlessly perfect lives. It doesn't mean that at all. Because John tells us if he says you have no sin, you're a liar and there's no truth in you. That's not what we're talking about. We're just saying that increasingly there's more of the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life because you're abiding. There's more evidence. And so there's got to be some degree of our walking like that. How about 1 John 3:24? I think we already looked at that one. This is back to our obedience. Here's another one. 1 John 3:24. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know this, that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. There's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So there's a perfect balance between our being comfortable and trusting and our being obedient. Yes, please.
That means that our feelings aren't what should guide us. If we're trying to generate the right feeling, we're going the wrong direction.
Pull out your card, guys. Feel, act, think. Think, act, feel. Romans 12. You guys didn't get a card? Got some more? Here you go. Now that's from Romans 12, too. Romans 12, too. Oftentimes, there's nothing wrong with our feelings. You need to understand this card here, guys. There's nothing wrong with your feelings. They're neutral. They're neither positive or are they negative. The real issue is, do I know that this is what I'm feeling? Do I know myself well enough to know that I've got to manage that feeling? And the way I manage it is by thinking correctly. What we're saying is you think in abiding, you're thinking correctly scripturally. And so you change the way that you think, and therefore you change the way that you act, and that all of a sudden the feelings become the result of, not the cause of. Yeah, Bill. Oh, absolutely.
Something before him starts once again by talking himself through the situation by going back to what he knows, and he knows the sovereign God.
Yeah, I think it's Psalm 34, where he says, "Why am I downcast, O my soul? Put my trust in God." He's talking to himself. Now, John McCain was one of my flight instructors in Pensacola. One of the things he taught me about landing on a carrier was talk yourself down. In other words, go through your checklist and say it out loud. Just don't say it, commit it to your memory, but think about it, because when you think about it, you're going to act on it. And it was a great lesson. He taught me just about aviation and about flying, but it applies to the Christian life, because that's exactly what David did in Psalm 34. Why am I downcast, O my soul? Put my hope in God. You see, he's talking himself. Sometimes, guys, you and I've got to talk ourselves back to where we are. We've got to act like we want to become and become like we act, because you do that by thinking correctly. That's why Tom wanted you to have this little card just as a reminder. Sometimes you've got to talk yourself into being what you want to be, and that's because of the grace of God. Remember, it's the grace of God that helps you do that.
And that is the process of abiding, that God has given us that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's abiding. That's one of the ways in which we abide. That's part of our abiding, you see. Abiding is something we work at. It's something that we do in God's grace. It's not something that you just absorb. There's something we are doing, and we're trying to unpack this a little bit to help us understand what is it we need to be doing. Yeah, Bill?
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about people trying to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's offensive to God. It's legalism.
Sure.
In Galatians, the first, doesn't say anything about trying to keep the law. In fact, it says against these things.
There is no.
There is no,
yeah,
such law.
That's right.
We
have been for the last 20 minutes. Let's go on. Yes.
Along that same line, when you use the term pitch your tent, to me it strikes the image of you're running around trying to be a good Christian. Just stop. Pitch your tent, rest, be at home in the grace of God.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's him.
Yeah, that's essentially what Bill is saying. That's the tension that exists. You see, when the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against that, because what he means by there's no law against that, we are free from the law as of a means of achieving our salvation. There's freedom from that. That's in grace. So when the Scripture says you're free from the law, it doesn't mean the law does not have any impact upon your life. That's not what it's saying. It means you're free from having it be a system by which you earn your salvation. Your salvation is by grace, and now you have the disposition and the motivation through the work of the Holy Spirit to want to keep the law, which you didn't have before because you tried to earn your way there. You're free from the law as a means of earning your salvation. That's what he means. And so now we just rest in that. Yeah, Bill?
Well, I just want to once again reinforce, I think we've talked about it lightly, but this whole aspect of abiding, it's don't take it as the passive that I'm just going to command to be still and know that I'm Lord. That is not a passive command. Concept of being still in the Lord is actually active for us.
So yep.
As we go through this life of resting and abiding in the Lord, I just want to continually remind ourselves that, you know, it's an active aspect, not just running around hurriedly, but the mental process of understanding and trusting who God is. what he's doing in our lives and what he has for us is a mental activity that we have.
Abiding is something that we are, and therefore it is something that we do. You've got to understand, first of all, abiding is something that we are. He is abiding in us. That is our condition. Our condition is that I'm abiding in Christ and he's abiding in me by the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to some verses to help us understand what are some of the aids to our abiding. First of all, one is the Spirit's anointing. The Spirit's anointing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit at your conversion. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. How is it that you and abide? You and I abide not because of our outward duties. It's because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who is given to us as the source of new life. So it is the Holy Spirit that it creates within us the desire to want to be obedient and to be obedient, and he is the source behind it. So you can't take credit for being abiding. You can't take credit for it. It is the Holy Spirit who energizes you to do that, and you and I are trusting him to work through us and to do that. So you really can't take credit and say, I need to abide. Yes, you do need to abide. But when you do abide, you can't take credit for it because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the new resources that you have in Christ that we didn't have beforehand. How about Romans chapter, let's go while we're in 1 John 3:24. We looked at that a moment ago. While we're in John 3:24. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know this by that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. How do you know you're abiding? It's not because of your doing, it's because of your being. You are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's how you know you abide. So when you are doing the things we're talking about, you know it's not of you, it's the Holy Spirit that is causing you to do that. He's the source of the new life to help us do that. The only way we can abide is through the inspiration and motivation of the Holy Spirit. That's the aid to our abiding. So you can't take credit for your abiding. You have to say, Lord, thank you for the fact that you gave me your Spirit to dwell in me and me in him, and he's the source of my abiding. How about Romans chapter 8, verse 9? How are we doing with this? Is this making any sense? Chapter 8, verse 9 of the book of Romans. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. What makes it possible for you to abide? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Let me give you one other verse. Well, let's just take one other. One of the aids to our abiding is by faith. Faith means you rely upon, trust upon, depend upon, or adhere to. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Ephesians 3, well, let me back up to 14, chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You see, part of our abiding is the responsibility to believe, to trust. And the word believe means to rely upon, depend upon, trust, and adhere to. So when you put all of this stuff together, abiding is the work of the Holy Spirit within us, and it is the generating force behind our being responsible and doing abiding. Abiding is something we do, but we do it under the graces aspects of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you and I accomplish. It's something that you and I are. It's our being. So as we unpack this a little bit today, I trust this has been somewhat helpful, and we'll pick it up next week. Any other questions before we go? Yes?
How about the rotten branches?
The rotten branches. We'll talk about them. Are you a rotten branch? We'll talk about that next week. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the job description of your Holy Spirit is to be our teacher. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the resources in your Spirit and in your Word and in our faith that is saving, that permits us to be in a condition of abiding. Help us realizing that it is a condition that we are in and something that we need to generate, something that we need to cultivate, and something we need to maintain. We maintain the abiding that you have created within us, and may it be so for Jesus' sake. And all the brave men said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.